Looks like you're going to see me for another few more weeks when I say I'll be doing a series on Habakkuk, right? And I thought it is important for us to look at this particular book because, as we read earlier, I think it's important for us to understand why things are happening in this world, right? So many things are happening, and sometimes people are afraid to travel because they say this is not a good time to travel. We do not know where the next problem might arise, you know, whether we are in a safe place or not. And so as Christians, we begin to ask questions like this, right? Why all these things are happening at the same time? When we look at the righteous, when I say righteous, you know, we look at people who love God so much. At the same time, we look at people who don't love God. And this question, or even this phrase, have been actually floating around, right? Not only the scriptures, but you say, you know, we ask, you know, why is the righteous suffering, right? Where else the wicked or the people who don't really love God, who deny God, are progressing, are doing well in their lives, where else the righteous are suffering and, you know, things are not good for those who love the Lord. I think this has been a question in the heart of Habakkuk's mind. If you realize, I think I said last week, what was happening, just to give you a preview as to what we heard last week. You know, Habakkuk is just coming to God and saying, he's talking about his people, the people of Israel, the chosen people, the elect of God. And so he's saying, Lord, look at your people. Right? Lord, look at your people. What's happening within the your people? The righteous are suffering. And there are people who have actually almost like living you away, idolatry, involved in idolatry. They're worshipping other things. Wealth has become their worship and they have other idols in them. Whereas they are progressing a lot, your people. Whereas they are your people who are suffering, the righteous one, the remnant one. They are going through rough times in their life too. And so there is a downhill in terms of spirituality that was happening in those days. And so Habakkuk is coming and knocking at the door of God and saying, Lord, Lord, we need you to answer. We need you to intervene. And so in chapter 1, you know, he starts by saying, how long, O Lord? In other words, we do not know how long Habakkuk was just interceding in the presence of God and asking God. It looked like as if God is totally silent, right? In chapter 1, we feel as if God is not listening. I've been crying, you know, I've been coming to you. I've been weeping in your presence, O God. I've been, you know, coming and asking, I'm your prophet. Lord, do you realize I'm your prophet, but I'm not hearing anything from you? I think that's the scene that we begin to see in chapter 1, right? He's not hearing anything. And finally, as we said, God is answering Habakkuk. You know, I like that particular thing. As I told you last week, God always answers. But there are moments that I think God's answers are different, right? It was the least expected answer that Habakkuk received from God. You know, he is just fighting with God again and saying, God, this is not what I want to hear. What was the answer? God gave an answer, and a very surprising answer. You know, he said, I'm going to send the Babylonians or the Chaldeans to come. They are an evil nation. They are warriors. They are wicked people, right? They are going to come, right? And they're going to invade you guys. Can you imagine? Habakkuk is praying. He's probably is asking God to bring a spiritual revival in the midst of God's people. But God is saying, you know, I'm going to send the Chaldeans, the Babylonians to come, right? And they are going to come and to bring you suffering and pain. And Habakkuk is, you know, as I said last week, you know, he's a bit puzzled. He doesn't know what to do, kind of a thing. People are asking questions. Interestingly, according to scholarship, you know, the prophecy did not happen during the time of Habakkuk. You know, it happened later on. But even then, you know, Habakkuk, you know, with burden is coming to God. He could have said, you know, that's not during my time. I'll be dead and gone. Let these guys suffer. But he was just full of burden, just speaking to God, struggling with God, and just weeping in the sight of God. And God's answers are different. In chapter 2, if you realize, I think God is talking to Habakkuk and talking about the problem, why all these things are happening, and what is God expecting from us. Shall we pray and ask God to help us? Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day that you've given to us as we give ourselves, O Lord, to not only to reading of your word, but also to hearing of your word. We pray, God, that your spirit will speak to us. Inspire us, O God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Just a few days ago, I was I came across an article, and I was really surprised. I do not know whether to use the word surprise, but I know I was troubled when I read this particular article. I was reading National Post, 2017. I do not know the exact date, you know. And I came across this article that was last week, and I was troubled to read this, and I read it again to make sure I was reading it correctly. And it says, you know, the title was UK Shows Deepest Decline of Religion, the United Kingdom, right? And this is the first word. It says, Britain is trying to become the first society in the world without religious beliefs at its core, at its center. Right? Can you imagine? When I was reading this, I was really troubled, right? That Britain is becoming the first society in the world without religious belief at its core. And immediately what happened, I came back home. I started looking at this. There's a great author, Reginald, right? He's a Canadian author. And I was trying to look at his numbers, because he writes about the statistics in terms of the religious landscape of this country. And it relieved me for a while, because in Canada, it says, according to his study, it says, because of immigration, migration that's happening in Canada, you know, it's almost like we have almost like stagnated in our religious beliefs. We have almost like stagnated in terms of Christianity too. But there is, you know, there is some growth that is happening. That's what Reginald says. There is some kind of growth. So it relieved me for a while. And I was asking this question, you know, why in Britain all these things are happening? And I believe it's going to reach our shores one day. Because when I was reading this, I was a bit troubled, because I've done a studies on church history. When I read church history, you know, you realize John Knox was a great man. And this was the prayer of John Knox. He was a great Protestant reformer from the United Kingdom. And John Knox prayed one day, and he prayed, Lord, give me Scotland or I will die. Can you imagine? That was the prayer of John Knox, right? He said, Lord, give me Scotland, if not, I will die. That was his burden. Do you know what the Queen of that particular area, Queen of Scots, Mary, she said, I fear the prayers of John Knox more than the assembled armies of Europe. I fear the prayer of this man. And that was the spiritual climate of the United Kingdom, my friend. You know, people were powerful people. Revivalists were there. Great revivals happened, right? If you look at church history, you'll read about John Wesley, Charles Wesley, Hudson Taylor, great people who did great things there. George Whitefield was there. John Newton was there. Charles Spurgeon was there. And even, you know, the founder of, what is that, Salvation Army, William Booth was also from there. Great people were coming from there. But today, what's happening? It's trying to become the first society, right, without religious belief. The last century, C.T. Studd was also there, who came from that particular country. I was asking myself why all these things are happening. And I begin to realize, when I look at the book of Habakkuk, I begin to see, you know, God is teaching us a lot of things from this particular book, my friend. And, you know, when you realize, I think what's happening in the book of Habakkuk, it's about self and that's about God. I think that's the problem. When it says self, it's about pride, right? It's about pride. It's either pride, or if not, it's about faith trusting God. If not, it's pride trusting self. You will read it in chapter 2, the first part of chapter 2. And God is speaking about it. It's either the pride is leading the people, and people are trusting themselves and leading their way, or They're having faith and trusting me. That's the problem, Habakkuk. And I believe that's the problem today. You know, when I was reading this particular book, I was trying to, you know, understand some of the, you know, the wisdom of the philosophers. And one of the things that I realized, you know, in my readings, I realized, you know, one of the greatest enemy of the church is humanism. And that's the greatest enemy of the church, because humanism says that you act on self-interest. You act on self-interest and common good. That's all. Right? So whatever that, you know, you think that is, it's that is interesting to you, that is important to you, it's about you. It's not about God, kind of a thing, right? And just common good. And that is one of the greatest enemy that is coming or coming into the church. And I think Habakkuk deals on this. When you look at the world today, what's happening? It's about whether it's about self, it's about pride, trusting self, or if faith, trusting God. And so we tend to look at this particular event that's taking place in history in the, during the time of, just after the time of Habakkuk, to understand. And I believe, I think that's a problem in today's world too, right? That's happening. When you look, why people, there's a lot of greed. It's about self-ego, it's about me. Right, we don't. Many today don't want to. We always question authority. It's because self is always right. Right, self is God. That is also New Age movement kind of a theory, thinking. You know, it's always about self. It's me. It's mine. And it's seen in the scriptures. The rich young man also was thinking about that. You know, the rich man was also thinking about, you know, burning down the barns because he was thinking about his life. You know, that he can live much more longer. It's about me, nothing about others. That was the way, you know, scriptures even talks about it. And so what's happening? You know, it's about pride. When I say pride, what does it mean to be pride? It doesn't mean that, you know, you cannot be proud of, you know, your achievement. I'm not talking about, you know, pride or proud in that kind of thing. Yes, we need to be proud because I've achieved something, right? I've done this. I'm successful in certain things. So that's the thing. You take joy in what you have done in your life, you have achieved. That is a different thing. But the way pride is mentioned here in the scriptures, right, the proud or the arrogant, that's the way the word is used. You know, it means that they don't need God in their lives, right? They don't need God in their lives. They consider themselves as God, right? They consider because they feel they are knowledgeable. And that was the problem of Lucifer, right? Satan. He felt that he was God. He knew everything. And he fell. And that was the trick that he was trying to use on Eve. You know, you can be like God. Right? You can. And you should. And that you are. And I think that's what he was trying to say. And so pride, in other words, it means you trust yourself. My way is better than yours. Right? And I know the way. And that's why, you know, Paul says in 2 Corinthians, as we read, you know, it's not by sight. Yes, we live by sight. But we might not understand what's happening in the world today. We need to be living by faith. You know, before we jump into faith, you know, let's look at this. You know, in verse 5, it says, what's happening? His soul is not right within him. In other words, it says he's never at rest. A proud person, right? A person who sees that he is or she is the person who knows everything. My way is better, right? It's about self-interest. It's not, you know, I don't really need God. I need not really live a religious life in this world because ism doesn't make any kind of meaning to me, right? Christianity doesn't make any kind of meaning to me. What's happening? You know, his soul is not right within him. In other words, you know, what God is telling Habakkuk, you know, the person is always in a turmoil, right? A proud person is always in a turmoil kind of a thing. The soul is not resting within him. Can you imagine if you're having stomach ache when you're in the service? What would happen? If your stomach is bothering you, you will not listen to what Pastor Vincent is saying. You will be listening to your stomach, right? You'll be thinking, should I go to the washroom, right? And you'll be thinking, should I know what time is he going to finish the sermon today, right? What's happening? There's a turmoil. It troubles you. Your soul is not right within you. You're troubled. There's a lot of anxiety, right? Because what has happened, you know, pride has taken over you. Yourself is in control of yourself, of you, my friend. Your ego is there. So there's always trouble. You need to do something. You need to be found doing. If not, you will not, you know, feel at peace, kind of a thing. Secondly, if you look at scriptures, it says wine betrays him. In other words, it deceives him. Like what was happening in the book of Habakkuk, people were just consuming wine, and that's the way they thought this is life, kind of a thing. It was just deceiving them. It deceives the body, right? It deceives us. And so that's what, you know, Habakkuk is trying to tell us. It deceives, right? It takes control. Pride takes control of everything. So we decide things based on pride. I did a course when I was in the U.S. about, you know, alcoholism and all that, the effects of this. And very interestingly, the lecturer was trying to tell us that when a person who's drinking and driving, you know why they say they don't drink and drive? One of the things he says, you know, when you drink, the chemical effect on your body happens in such a way, you feel that you are not really speeding. You feel as if you are just cruising, that's all. So you need to go, but actually you're speeding much more. What has happened, I think, it takes over, kind of a thing. That's the reason. So Habakkuk is looking at the words carefully said by God, that it deceives us, right? And says, this is the way to go. This is right. Right? At the end of the day, he deceives you. It deceives your life. And lastly, it will never satisfy, like death never satisfies you. You know, when a proud person, a person who's living, just trusting on themselves, saying, you know, I don't need God, kind of a thing, what's happening? They are never satisfied, my friend. They're never satisfied in their lives, right? They want more. And that was happening in the Babylonians. They were just conquering people. If you read, I think the passage says, right? They wanted to gather nations all to themselves. You know, they are never satisfied. They are not at peace at all. They don't see peace in God because they don't want God. They don't rest because on God and say, Lord, I cast all my burdens on you because you are taking care of me. I was reading the life of Alexander the Great. You know, one of the words that Alexander the Great, you know, when he conquered almost all the nations of the world, you know what Alexander said? He cried. He said, there is no more nations to conquer. Can you imagine? He was conquering almost all the nations of the world, but Alexander was crying and saying, there is no more nation for me to conquer. That is a proud man, my friend. Because he thought, you know, he can do, and self is important. Pride is important. And so pride, you know, and we need to be very careful as Christians too, because, you know, I know in my previous pastoral ministries, I've seen sometimes in the longer we are a Christian, you know, we can feel that, you know, we are much more better than other smaller Christians or younger Christians. We know the thou art attitude, kind of a thing, right? And so anyone should be very careful because, you know, pride can actually creep into us. That happens. It happens to a pastor. It happens to any leaders. It happens to any believers in the church, that we might have a holier thou kai of an attitude in us. Let me finish by saying, you know, these things. One of the things, you know, the Lord was telling, you know, that people have to live by faith, and the righteous will be living by faith. The righteous will be trusting faith that is actually trusting God. And so in this following verses, we are going to see at least three things. The role of us, what is my role? What is Habakkuk's role? At the same time, you know, and God says, and this is going to be my role, kind of a thing. So faith is not just a two-way, it's not a one-way kind of a traffic, it's a two-way kind of a traffic. Not only I trust God, I lean on to God, and God says, you know, this is who am I, right? And this is me, and this is how I reveal myself to you. First thing, when you look at this passage, you know, I see, you know, Habakkuk in verse 1, he says, I will stand at my watch, right, and station myself. And so he goes on. In other words, faith says, I stand. I like to use these words, right? He says, I stand. And that's how faith answers. When faith looks at all the things that's happening in the world, it says, you know, I stand. Where do I stand? Right? And Habakkuk says, I stand looking to God, right, to be enlightened and corrected. In other words, you know, what happens, you know, when I'm living a life of self, when I look at the world, I begin to flow according to the patterns of the world. Yes, this is the world things, and say, this is probably right. Maybe that's the way, that's a logical way, that's a rational way to look at it. But, you know, instead of that, you know, what is happening? Habakkuk is saying, no. I'm going to stand. Yes, I have questions. I'm struggling with God. I'm struggling with my faith. Lord, how long, God? You need to answer me. I need to wait for you. But whatever it is, I'm going to stand because I know that is faith, that God has come answers for me. And he says, I'm going to look to God to be enlightened, what he will say to me, because I know he will enlighten me. Because the more I look at God's word, you know, let me tell you, my friend, the word of God enlightens me, teaches me, right? It speaks to me and makes me to see things much more clearer, much more better. I begin to understand. That's what he says. What answer I will give to this complaint? In other words, Paul, you know, Habakkuk was just struggling because people were asking him questions. The righteous people were asking questions. You know, prophet, tell us why we are suffering. We love God. But why we are suffering, whereas the wicked brothers and sisters, they are prospering, they are happy, and they are enjoying life. And Habakkuk is stretching his head and saying, I do not know the answer. What is, so, you know, instead of saying, you know, I, he's just waiting to God and saying, Lord, I stand to be corrected. Teach me, Lord, that I'll go and give them the right answer. I think that's faith, my friend. Faith looks at God and stands before God. And the language used is a very figurative language. It doesn't mean that he's going to, you know, build a fortress and going to stand. It's a very figurative language. He says, I'm going to stand in the presence of God. I'm going to ask him, and I'm going to allow him to enlighten me. I want his word to be spoken to me, that I'll be giving the right answers instead of just saying, you know, I want to give them the right answers. The Bible has the right answers, my friend. At the same time, when you look at the word very carefully, he also says, not only I'm going to look at God, look to God, but I'm going to look at self, what he will say. I looked at the Hebrew word very carefully. It says, what he will say, not only to me in the Hebrew Bible, it says, what he will say in me. That's an interesting word in the Hebrew text. In other words, not only I'm going to listen to God, but I'm going to also see who am I in the presence of God. I'm going to reflect my life. I'm going to examine my life to see where am I in the presence of God. Is it something that, you know, I've done, I don't understand, I don't have exercised faith, I'm going to reflect myself. And that's the way I think Habakkuk is saying. When I looked at it very carefully, you know, I was very fascinated, because the way Habakkuk is saying, you know, in the language that is used here, I'm going to spend time in solitude to reflect on all this, and I'm going to ask, Lord, am I contributing to this? Is there something that I don't understand? Is there something, Lord, that's in me that I need to get rid of in my life, kind of a thing? I'm going to reflect. I'm not just going to look at answers and bring the answers at you. Probably I'm the problem here. Or maybe I don't understand you. Or maybe I'm not listening to your voice, you know, clear enough. And so I think that's what is happening here. He says, so what is happening? Faith always will stand looking to God. Faith will always stand reflecting on who they are, my friend. Because faith always wants to be corrected. In other words, a person who has faith knows that he's not there yet. He needs a bit more polishing in his life, that God needs to fine-tune his love, right? His things in his life. When I was reading this, I know something told me. You know, I do this too often in my life. You know, Habakkuk, though it was it's a very figurative language, it told me something. You know, Habakkuk wanted to spend time with God. I would encourage you as a church, right, in your personal life. Yes, we come and pray, we worship God. That's wonderful, right? We take time off, right, for certain things. Why don't we take time off for God? Right, take time off, 2 hours, 3 hours, right? Not really 20 minutes. 20 minutes is just like Tim Horton's time, right? Say, Lord, once a month, I want to have a time off with you. I wanted to spend that 2 hours with you, right? And I want to just reflect myself. I want to be enlightened. I want to know, right? I want to reflect, who am I in my life? And that is faith, my friend. Let me tell you, it will definitely enrich you. It will definitely help you, right? And that's the language he's using. In other words, I don't want to be in this noisy world. I want to take time off to be in a solitude place, in a lonely place, right? And that's why he uses the word, right, watch and the tower and all that kinds of word he's going to use here, because I want to be alone with the Lord so that I will know who I am and I'll begin to understand who God is. And so faith will stand. It will stand to look and stand to hear what God has to say. Secondly, when you look at it, you know, faith is not just trusting God, you know, believing on Him. But I think faith is also proclaim. He says, I proclaim. Because the Lord says, write down, right, and make it plain on tablets. In other words, I think what was God saying, you know, write it down, right? Why it needs to be written down, I think, because many times we tend to, you know, we can't trust traditions, we can't trust philosophy. Right, we cannot trust human reasoning, right? But so God says, you know, write it down so that it is there, it is visible, you can see it. The way God is using the words here, looking at the context, it's saying, you know, I want you to write it down and I want you to explain it. Right? In other words, Habakkuk, I want, in the meanwhile, I want you to proclaim my word. It's a tough word. It's a strong word, but I want you to write it and I want you to explain in terms that people will understand, right? And he uses the word, the herald may run with it. In other words, people who run are able to see and easily see it from a distance, and they will run with the same message later on. And so God is saying, not only, you know, you need to be found waiting here, but I think God is expecting Habakkuk by saying, and I want you to proclaim until you hear my answer. So faith proclaims meanwhile. Faith is not just only dwelling on the questions, my friend, and asking God questions, but faith goes on living a Christian life, goes on proclaiming, right? Goes on explaining, goes on revealing what God, you know, is saying. And sometimes, you know, there are, you know, sometimes we say, you know, if I share if I share about Christianity, about Jesus to others, you know, in a very scientific world, it doesn't make sense. It might not make any sense, my friend. But I think it is the language used here, you know, you say it, you explain it, but I think God will make the thing grow in their life. And so Paul faith continues to proclaim, right? Habakkuk could have easily given up and said, Lord, I'm not going to do all these things. I'm just living up my profession. I'm not going to be your prophet, Lord. I think I'm going to give up on religion. He could have easily said that. But God wanted him to proclaim, even though he was not receiving answers from God, right? Just explain it. Explain it. Lastly, I think faith. What happens? Faith, he says, you know, I will wait. For the revelation awaits an appointed time. right? And so what happened, you know, Habakkuk could have said, Lord, I want an answer now. Have you realized in our prayer life, we always want God to answer immediately? Because that's the world that we live in today, right? It's a very instant world. We want things now, immediately. Right? We want now kind of a thing, immediately. But then he says, no. You know, God says, the revelation awaits an appointed time. It's not your time, it's my time. Right? It's God's appointed time. At the same time, though, it will linger, wait for it. Wait for it. And it will certainly come and will not delay. In other words, you know, faith waits, my friend. Faith waits. And I believe, you know, sometimes, you know, it's difficult for us. You know, we say, you know, I don't understand certain things. But God wants us to stand, looking at His Word, reflecting on our lives. And the Lord wants us to do the things that we have been doing, right? Living a Christian life, reaching out, doing whatever that we have been doing in our Christian walk and love for God. At the same time, we need to be patiently waiting because God has His own time of revealing things. When I look at the word wait and looking at it, you know, sometimes why we need to wait, because during the time of waiting, God will discipline us, right? It can be a time of discipline. As Habakkuk is waiting, right? Maybe God will discipline him by saying, you know, Habakkuk, this is your life. There are certain things that needs to be done in your life. Wait can also be to test our faith, right? To see whether we are faithful people. We will wait for Him. It might be 10 years, 5 years, or more than that, right? Whether we will, have that kind of faith, doesn't waver kind of a thing. It will develop patience, right? Maybe look at the passages very carefully. I think he was developing a lot of patience. Right? He developed patience. And it motivates right hope in us. To motivate hope, then the wait can be, you know, God is going to answer, but I'll just wait and I hope and I know this God I can trust. So it could be a reason that God wants us to be just exciting with excitement. We are waiting for the outcome of a thing. So today, my friend, I think we need to ask ourselves, you know, when we look at the world today, why, right? Is it because of pride, trusting self, or is it because of faith, trusting God, right? And so God is answering him and saying, and it's all because of pride. People are living a life because they don't need God, right? They think they are God. Not that they deny the existence of God, but they feel, you know, it is meant for only certain people, not for us, kind of a thing. But God wants us as Christians to live a life of faith. Right? We need to stand in the presence of God and ask Him. You know, we need to be just waiting, and the meanwhile, we need to be just proclaiming. And so, and that's what God says, you know, the righteous will live by faith, right? He believes in God, he lives in faith, and then he's saved from death by word. I was reading this quote, and I thought I'll finish with this quote, right? The quote's by this person, by Henry. It says, if I seem to walk out of step with others, it is because I'm listening to another drumbeat. I was fascinated when I read this, because if I seem to be walking out of step with others, it is because I'm listening to another drumbeat. So today in our Christian walk, you know, which drumbeat are we listening? Is it self or is it God? Are we walking as the way the world is walking? Or are we walking differently in the world, my friend, because we hear another drumbeat? What voice are we listening today? Is it self or is it God? Let's pray. I believe the answer that God gave to Habakkuk would be the same answer that God would give us even today. It's self against God. It's pride against faith. If you realize that sometimes in our Christian faith, we want God to do the things that we want in our way, in our time. The exact way that we want Him to do, we want Him to do. And that is not faith, my friend. Even though we pray about it, we say, Lord, if you are God, this is what I want. This is how you should do in my life. Do you realize that we're actually revealing ourselves to Him rather than exercising faith? So as Christians, we can even live not a life of faith, but a life of self. And that was happening in the people of Israel. They were God's people, God's chosen people. They knew the Torah very well. They went to the synagogue, to the temple, you know, the places of worship. They knew God. I believe they were doing all these things. But then, the self was ruling them. It was not the faith. The just will live by faith. Faith means, my friend, I stand. I stand to hear what God have to say. Because He has the answers. I stand because I know His word will also correct me or examine me. Faith also proclaims. It still continues to do the things faith has been doing. It proclaims God's love. That's why Habakkuk was able to say, even though the fig tree will not blossom, but Lord, I will glorify You. Faith will wait, my friend. Not my time, but God's time. Maybe during the time of waiting, faith says, "No, Lord, You discipline me. You strengthen my faith, O God. Teach me patience. Help me, Lord, to look at You." Father, we thank You, Lord, for Your word that You've given to us. Help us, Lord, to see the world through Your lenses, Father. Lord, as Christians, oh God, help us to live a life of faith, trusting You, hearing You, oh God, living for You, and waiting for Your time. Help us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.